I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Just as he does each and every one of his children. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the 20th chapter of John. To be quite honest with you, this is a continuation of our Bible study this morning. John chapter 20. In verses 24 through the end of the chapter of John chapter 20, we see a man who walked with Jesus. One who saw the miracles that Jesus had performed. One who had heard the teachings that Jesus gave to his disciples while he walked this earth. And at least he knew of the crucifixion. But for some reason, he had not yet returned to the group of disciples when our Lord had first revealed himself to the disciples. You might recall that all of the disciples departed from Jesus and left him alone. Even Peter had to leave when the cock crowed thrice, as the Lord had declared, "You will leave me." And Peter did. But let's begin at verse 18, shall we? John chapter 20, verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now I want to take a moment here in this verse 18 to address something. Notice that our Lord reveals him first to a woman. And I point this out for this reason, that many have had a hard time with the truths of Scripture because they think that our Lord looks upon women as second class. Man was formed from the dust of the earth and woman was formed from his rib. Women are not to teach over men. Men are to be the head of the house. Women are to be the helpmeet. Folks, our great God has given us an order to follow. Not an order as in military, but order as in the opposite of chaos. When a country loses its order, loses its rule of law, we end up with chaos. And I don't have to prove that to you folks. You all know that. You see it going on right now in our very country. It's what hurts us the most is that we know it's so simple to stay with the order of things that God has made them since from 200 years ago. Not all of the orders. We've gone through some and found some to be vile. Slavery, a very vile thing. But there's still a lot of rules that we should continue with. And we see the chaos that comes out of it when one leaves the rule of law. The truths of God have order to them. The head rules the body. Now that does not make any of our members less important, does it? They're just as important in their function as they are right this moment. It's just the order of creation. Now look at verse 19. Then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and he stood in the midst and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." I can picture a group of men huddled around in a small room. Huddled around low. Stay down. Don't let anybody look in the window and see us. One might be thinking, woe are we, for we are known as the followers of this one that was just crucified. Just as there was a woman standing next to the fire saying, "Wait a minute, aren't you one of those guys who followed Jesus?" No, not me. And here we have a group of men possibly doing that very same thing. The doors closed, no one can see him. Maybe they were feeling a little guilty for abandoning their Christ in the time of his death. I know I would be. Where was my faith a moment ago when my Lord was being crucified? It was right where God wanted it to be. See, only one person could go to that cross, and Christ had to do it. His followers couldn't come with him. They couldn't be a part of that, for Christ had to do it alone. No one else could help him. No one else could take their sins or take the sins of many upon themselves, so Christ had to do it alone. But in any case, even though these men were huddled down, in any case, our great God was compassionate to them. He said, "Peace unto you. Put away your troubled minds, for it is I, saith the Lord." I cannot help but recall the storm that arose while Jesus was asleep in the bottom of the boat. Oh, what wonder we see when our Lord tells us, "Peace be unto you." When we go through those things that we spoke of last week that are like waves rolling over us, and we feel the peace of our Lord, knowing that it is Him that brings things about, everything about. And He does it for our good. What a peace that brings upon those of us who trust in Him alone. How else could we go through those storms? Luck? No. Mother Nature? No. No, our only peace is in our Savior. Peace be unto you. Put away your troubled minds, for it is I have your troubles, he says. I move all things, and I do it for your good. We may not always see the good in what it is about, what it is about us, yet our God has promised it so, and that's good enough for me. Verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his sides. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now, I don't want you to overlook this, because this is a very, very important point. The disciples saw the wounds of our Lord, the wounds that he had incurred, before they were glad. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I never noticed that. In all the times I've had this message preached to me, it was never brought out on how the disciples had to see the wounds before they were glad. How many of you thought the very same thing as I did, that doubting Thomas was the only one who had to see? Doubting Thomas was the only one who had to put his hands in the wounds of our Lord. That's what I used to think. But when I read this, whew, it just opened right up. They're all just like me. I have to see with my heart the wounds of my Lord. Not with just the eyes. But my Lord has to reveal these things to me, just as he is doing so with the disciples. They needed proof that they could see before they would believe the Lord liveth. I point this out because many think that the Apostle Thomas was the only one who doubted. Look at verses 24 through 28 with me, if you would. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. And he stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believe." Yeah. And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." You see the compassion our Lord has on his people? This is exactly what he did to each and every one of you, to our hearts. He came to us and he said, look upon the holes that are in my hand. I and I alone have taken your sins into the grave, and my Father remembers them no more. Because of what I have done, not me, but what the Lord has done for me. Now I ask you this, was it only the fact that he could see it plainly that made him to believe? Mark your place here for just a moment. Turn over to the 10th chapter of this very same book. Our Lord is continuing what he has already taught, and that is this, folks. God was manifest in the flesh. God provided himself a sacrifice for those for whom he loved. God sees his chosen people as righteous as his son, and God will lose none of for whom he died. Are you with me in verse 23 of chapter 10? And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? They had that right, didn't they? Did not our Lord harden the heart of Pharaoh? How long dost thou make us to doubt, is what they said. If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, he says, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now go back to our text, if you would. Our Lord tells Peter in Matthew, this very subject that we're talking about in our Bible study right now, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. This is what our Lord is talking about when he says, I have done many good works. He didn't do it in secret and in hiding. He healed the guy who couldn't walk right in front of all kinds of people. He went to Samaria, a heathen country. And he saved one person. One person, God's elect. There were many, many lepers in the days. But only one was saved by God at the time of Nehemiah. Laman? Who was the leper the Lord saved, Bill? Naaman. Thank you. I was confusing it with another name. Only one. Our Lord didn't do anything in hiding. Everybody saw the man that was saved. Everybody saw it. But yet only those, as we saw in our Bible study, only those who have had it revealed to them by the Father, which is in heaven, know who the Son of God is. They that know who the Son of the living God is. The true knowledge of who this man called Jesus is can only be revealed to one's heart by God the Spirit. It is God who speaks to the hearts of men. Our Lord tells us in John 3:16 that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now look at the last three verses of John chapter 20. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Wait a minute, back up, 29, last three verses. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. My title this morning is Written That Ye Might Have Life. You don't need to turn there, but in Romans 10:11, a very familiar scripture referred to often, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Our Lord tells his preachers, comfort ye, my people. It is my intent to share with you a comfort that can only come from God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You must believe, though, as he is revealed in his word, the word of truth. Too many men and women take the word of God and they interpret it to their own destruction. Do you know the Bible declares that? That's part of the thing I was just telling you a moment ago. He doesn't hide anything. There are many who take God's word and interpret it to their own destruction. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ according to Scripture, who he is. God in the flesh. You're not going to know that unless God reveals it to you. You need to know that he died for his elect and paid their sins in full, 100%. The blood of God is perfect in every way. He washes his people perfect in his blood. That's according to scriptures. He doesn't wash you of your sins and what you have done. You can't add anything to the grace of God by doing something with him. It's all of him. We try hard, don't we, all the time to add to it. Thank God that he allows us to stumble in pits at times where we have to turn around and look right back to our Lord for what we need. And be taught that salvation is of the Lord and of the Lord alone. You must believe though as he is revealed in Scripture. In our natural state, a state of deadness and trespasses and sin, we cannot perceive the kingdom of heaven. That's God's word. We cannot understand the things of heaven or their spiritual, for they are spiritual, and we died spiritually in Adam. For one to understand the things of God, one must be given life. One must be quickened, as it says in verses 1 of Ephesians 2. In our natural state, we hide ourselves from God. You know, Adam, that's what Adam and Eve did, didn't they? They thought they were hiding themselves. They thought they were hiding themselves. The Lord said, where art thou, Adam? Do you think the Lord asked that not knowing where Adam was? He knew exactly where Adam was, but he wanted Adam to see where he was, hiding from the Lord. Trying to cover himself with his own hands, the works of his own hands. Sowed fig leaves or whatever leaf it was. Adam hid his nakedness by sowing leaves, making himself coverings. We come into this world sowing our own leaves of self-righteousness, a righteousness that is no better than filthy rags, a righteousness of our own imagination. Thank God that he clothes us with his righteousness, just as he did Adam, making coats for him and Eve. Blood had to be shed for that coat to be made. Turn over to the first book of John, if you would. These things are written, it says, that the world would see the truth. In the 17th chapter of John, verse 17, we read our Lord speaking in his prayer to the Father. He says, sanctify them. Our Lord is crying out to his Father on your and my behalf. Sanctify them. Put us apart. Make us holy. Through thy truth. Through the word of God. Thy word is truth. These things are written that ye might believe. In Ephesians 2 verse 7 we read that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here is comfort, especially when we're feeling the doubts of the flesh, the very doubts that Thomas had, the very doubts that even all the disciples had before they saw Christ crucified, yet living. He who gave himself for us shall never leave us, we see. These are things that comfort us. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. These are things that comfort us. All that the Father giveth him shall come to him, and those that come to him he shall in no wise cast out. These are things that comfort us. You see, coming to the Savior is not a one-time thing. Yes, there was a time when the Lord made us willing, when the Lord quickened us and gave us life that we could see him. But coming to the Lord is something we have to do all the time. Something that is a continual coming. I didn't come to the Lord. I am coming to the Lord every minute of my life because he is bringing me to him. We continually come again and again and again till our time to be in his presence has come. Look to his wounds. Oh. Why did I allow myself to fall into that same trap when I'm in a group of men? Why did it allow myself to fall into the trap of speaking as they do? So I would look to the wounds of my Savior and say, that was put on him, wasn't it? So that I would look to the wounds of my Savior and see that he has paid the price for me. So I would look to his cross where he has put away my sins. So that I would look right now, this very moment, to his throne where he makes intercession for my weaknesses. Look to Christ. I can't get out of the trouble that I'm in. A young man came to me afterwards and said, is that any way for a preacher to talk? And that laid heavily on my heart. And I went back to that young man and I said, no, it's not. But this is why I come to the Lord. This is the Lord that I preach about. The one who I can come to all the time. The one who will take me no matter what I am. The one who has loved me despite myself. I come to him. Won't you? Won't you come to him too? Look to Christ. Are you with me in John chapter 1?
Wait a minute. Where did I go wrong? Believe it or not, this is just according to God's will also, folks. Okay, well, let's pick it up here. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent of God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, speaking of John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light, who is Jesus Christ. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And he was in the world, and the world made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Whosoever believeth on me shall have everlasting life. But notice what it says next in verses 13, 14, and 15. For which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. When we are born of God, He shows us our comfort in His Son. He gives us the power to be sons of God, where we look to Christ for all of our needs. I know I'm missing something here. You know, I've completely lost my place. I don't know if I misplaced a page, but somehow or another I jumped from reading John all the way to the end, and I've already given you the closing statement of my message.
That's all right, you're doing a good job of talking about the Lord Jesus.
We'll not send this recording out, okay, Daryl? Or Garrett? Our whole point in this message is this. Really, when it comes right down to it, folks, I think you've already seen this, but let's repeat it, shall we? These men, God's own disciples, men who our Lord would say in just a moment after what we had already read, go out into the world. Go out into the world and speak these things. Speak of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what He's done for His people. Those very men that our Lord is sending out are just like the rest of us. When it comes right down to the flesh, all they saw was a man before them. Until the Lord placed it on their hearts. This is who I am. Put your finger in my hole of my hand. Put your hand in my side. See that I have taken your sins away and put them away forever. This is something that we look to all the time. Every moment. Because we never know just when that ugly flesh is going to rear up its ugly head. But it will. As long as the Lord is pleased to have us walk this valley of shadow of death, we will have troubles, and most of those troubles are going to be right here inside of us. Most of our troubles are our little faith that we have, or the sin of the flesh. And when you go through that, that wave that splashes over your head, will you turn to what you can do? Or will you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ who has done it all? Amen. Stand with me if you would, please.